ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. My guest today is David Holbrook, a filmmaker and cultural entrepreneur, as well as the host and founder of Original Thinkers, a new festival that blends art, ideas, and film in a single theater in Telluride, Colorado. In his previous role as the director of the Telluride Mountain Film Festival, David was known for inspiring and entertaining thousands of people every year with his innovative programming. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
What a pleasure. Glad to be on your podcast, Gabriella.
Let's begin with a little bit of background on your career and how you got started in the film festival game.
I got started in the film festival game because I was sort of seized by it. I went to a film festival called Telluride Mountain Film, and I actually went out to plan to Telluride, where I'd spent a lot of time, and went there with my fiance then, my wife now, and we went to this festival that I'd always known about because I've been around Telluride for a long time. And it blew me away. I just had never seen anything like that. And there was one particular moment. I mean, it's a very transformative moment. Whereas I was in a theater, and there was a movie called Genghis Blues. It's this beautiful theater called the Sheridan Opera House. And this film, Genghis Blues, a blues musician who had heard a guy named Kongor Olandar sing, and he was a throat singer from a place called Tuva, a million miles away. And they connected. It was a road movie. And to my surprise, after the film, they had the Tuvan throat singer sing and perform. It was electric. It was electric. I was like, everything in my being was like, I'm at exactly the right place, exactly the right time. And it just kind of seized me. And, I worked in television, which is how we know each other, of course. And I liked it, but you didn't have that in television. You didn't have that experiential thing in the same sort of way. And so really after 9/11, I continued to work in television, CNN, and other places. But was looking at film, and it's not an automatic leap. It's not an impossible one, but I eventually made it and then found I really liked making movies, but then found what I really liked was doing film festivals. And so I programmed Telluride Mountain Film for a decade. And that's become, like, as you said, my game. It's where I belong.
Right. And so as a veteran of the film festival space now, I'm wondering, you surely have opinions on what makes a great festival.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. And I think it's what I was talking about is the experience. What's the experience people are having? You can watch movies in so many different platforms. They all have merit, but content is king. Agreed. We all know that, but I think context is everything else. For me, that's critical. And so, of course, watch our movies in our den and our HD TVs and all that other stuff. But man, you get people together for a movie, and my world is documentaries, but I've had electric experiences with narrative films at Sundance and Tribeca and other big festivals, but my focus has always been documentaries, which have another level of power, which is these are movie stars, except they're real, except they're people who really exist and have seized your heart, blown your mind, and transformed you over the course of the 90 minutes in the dark, and then they come out on stage, and they're there. And wow, people, that experience is so tremendous. And what I've learned is how to engineer them. They don't just happen. You have to really make this happen. But I can see a film now, and I can understand how to program it and how to create something. And lots of people are doing it, but I feel there are ways to make it even stronger.
Well, I guess that's really, I'd like to dive in a little deeper on that, because certainly there are a lot of festivals these days. So what is it that makes that context, what makes that experience extra special? Because everything is about experience, the viewer experience, any consumer experience, everything is about experience these days. So what in the film festival world, it's not just simply trotting out the filmmaker. So what is it? What are the elements that you think are important to bring to bear?
Well, there are a couple of layers. One is obviously for the audience. And if we start there, it is that experience that there is something happening in that theater that I'm sharing with other people. That's the big part of it, is that together we have this experience. And being part of a standing ovation for a film is simply electric. You know, that you're there in that moment is enormous. And I think, you know, it becomes a very symbiotic relationship, because it's incredible for the filmmaker as well. And I also think, though, looking at all that, you know, look, I've been to Sundance for a long time now, and I love what they do. And there's nobody that convenes like Sundance. You know, personally, I think they play too many films, you know, and I think they spread out that experience, that word again, for everybody, because they're off in a bunch of different directions. And I think that's, you know, changes things, by the way, but nobody convenes filmmakers better than Sundance for me, you know, and I'll go there as long as I can, even though, you know, the parking's a hassle and the traffic's this, but they're just bringing together so many great people, and there's nothing quite like that. And I think that's, you know, from the filmmaker standpoint, you know, Tribeca has just happened, and Tribeca has a unique place in this ecosystem as well. And, you know, again, a huge festival. And one of the things I'm looking at for my own sense of what I want to do, and one of my mantras, is less is more.
Well, that's actually, before you continue, I think that's a question I had, is sort of the challenge of too much choice as a participant and going to a festival, that you feel like, you know, the fear you're missing something. If I go to this, I'm missing that.
Too much choice in everything. Look, we know there's a content bubble, and it's in, you know, Netflix has its own content bubble. You know, all these platforms have their own, and there's a festival bubble. You know, there's a film bubble. I wish, as much as I love documentaries, I wish less people were making them. It's the barriers to doing it have become so low. And that's great on one level, the democratization of filmmaking, but a lot of people just shouldn't be making movies. And they're trying. I'm sorry. It's so obnoxious.
But, fair point, yeah.
Look, you know, I shouldn't be painting. You know, like, it doesn't mean I wouldn't like to, but, you know, it's one thing to paint and say, I'm going to paint something in my house. I shouldn't be singing, you know, for other people, that is. You know, there's things I'm good at, things I'm not. And I believe really strongly that everybody is an artist. Every single person that listens to this, everybody, no matter how businessy, no matter what they do, they have an artistic streak in them that may be activated, like yours is with painting, or it may not be, because it was beaten out of them, so to speak, in school. And they just never, but I believe everybody has that. However, I don't believe everybody should be a filmmaker.
And that isn't the voice they should choose.
That isn't the voice or the medium or the, you know, the tools that everybody should express themselves creatively. But not everybody should be making movies. And so what happens is, because it is cool and fun, and these festivals their impact on all of this is really big, because it is so much fun, and there is, you know, you're being celebrated, and the, you know, again, this word electricity of that connection with an audience. I had never really connected working for the Today Show or television. You don't connect with your audience directly. And there was one time I was on a plane when I was working for the Today Show, and I was sitting behind somebody who was talking about something she had seen on the Today Show that I had produced. And I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to do. And I kind of leaned forward. I was like, hi, my name is David. I produced that thing that you were talking about. And she looked at me like I was crazy. You know, like it just made no sense. And there wasn't that connection. But I think, especially at the level of film that I work on, documentaries and stuff that are going to festivals, as opposed to, you know, blockbusters and big Hollywood films, that connection to your audience drives a lot of us, and certainly does for me. And I think there is a real power to that. And also, our documentaries were mission based generally. There was something.
Well, I was just going to say, is it cause cinema to a certain degree?
Yeah, of course. I think depending on the film, but that knowing your audience, seeing your audience, meeting your audience, you know, is part of it, especially when you're trying to achieve something with your film. You know, my last, which was about my father, Ambassador Richard Holbrooke, and you know, he was this legendary diplomat, and I spent 4 years making a movie about him that's on HBO that people can see. But I really did have a mission. And you know, the last line, of the very last line in the credits says dedicated to the next generation of diplomats. So for me, a big part of that film, yeah, I want lots of people to watch it on HBO and all that. But a lot of it's, oh, going to the Fletcher School of Diplomacy at Tufts University and talking to those kids, or at Indiana University, which is, or various other places or other gatherings where, you know, young people who might want to be diplomats can see this film, and hoping that inspires them to follow that road. And that's very much what I'm about.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting. You had touched on narrowing the scope is sort of part of your new venture. So your new festival is Original Thinkers. And is it correct to call it a film festival, or is it something wholly new?
But it's also, I say it's an art / ideas / film festival.
Okay.
Which feels about right. You know, there are artists that are involved in it. We're really looking at ideas. I mean, it's called Original Thinkers, but we're integrating film into this. And I don't think there was a lot that's in this space. You know, obviously the big TEDs and all of that, these conferences are much more about speaking and don't use film in any which way or any real serious way. You know, film festivals certainly have talks, and I look at things within the film, but it's not integrated generally. And so what I want to be able to do is put together programs that are using film, maybe a short film, maybe a feature film, and then a real in-depth conversation with people that have a richness to it. And I find it at some festivals, including Tribeca, and quite honestly, that I really love a lot of the films they're doing. I find myself often frustrated by the conversations afterwards.
What do you mean that they just they skim along the surface and you want to dive deeper, or what is?
There's that, or they go the opposite way. For instance, you know, I saw a couple of great films in Tribeca and they had conversations afterwards. One of them, there were 10 people on the panel. And fair enough, 5 of them were in prison because it was a film about prison. They were inmates up on a screen and they were great, but there were still 5 more people on stage plus a moderator. And it was kind of an unholy mess. And there was so much good stuff to talk about there. It was so powerful and they had a real opportunity. And you know, there were nuggets, but I just want something that's...
Well, that also depends a lot on the moderator right there to make that sing.
It's a tricky thing. Yeah, for sure. And I see that, you know, that I want my MCs, I want for Original Thinkers. I always said this at Mountain Film as well, where I've also just done this other festival called EarthX Film in Dallas. It's an environmental film festival. And I always say the same thing, which is I want our MCs to come with this with knowledge. They're not experts, but they come knowing more than the audience. And I find a lot of festivals, including at Sundance, where the person introducing the film will not tell me almost anything more than what I read in the description. It feels perfunctory. And I always feel the films and the filmmakers deserve better. And filmmakers have told me, like, wow, nobody's ever really spoken about my film that way, that thoughtfully. And that's a big thing to me, is how do I do that? Because having made films that at least aspire to be thoughtful, I've always been grateful when somebody's taken that time to really engage.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And quickly, this also goes to the abundance of films. You can't do it if you have 100 films.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
right. But then, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because then do we just, if we don't program as many films, do we just have more film festivals? And then what's the hierarchy of festival? I mean, where do you see, thinking about the entertainment ecosystem, what role does the festival play both for narrative films and also documentary films? What do you think the role that they play is?
I think a critical one on one level, and another one, a kind of a minor drop in the bucket. You know, look, this is, you know, when you look at how many people are going to see Avengers, you know, and if you said, okay, let's total all the box office from all the Sundance 2018 films, doc and narrative, which is, you know, wow, 150 films. I don't know how many. I mean, a ton of films, and it won't come close to the Avengers. But I do think they're important in shaping sensibilities and taking the risks that Avengers can't. You know, I mean, if you look at Black Panther, wow, there is a risky film in a way politically in what it's saying. And, you know, it has that indie sensibility in its own way, even though it's a, even though it's this giant Marvel Comics thing. You know, if you look at Get Out, you know, Jason Blumhouse, I don't like horror films at all, but I thought Get Out was astonishing, and I think about it all the time. But his approach is he wants to make horror films, but do it as a Sundance filmmaker, which is so interesting.
Right, and it made for an amazing film. It's, I'm going to forget the name of the film, the horror film that's out right now, the silent one.
Quiet Place.
I thought that was
it looks so scary.
So good, right?
I won't see it. It's too scary for me. My wife went to see it the other night, and she's like, oh, my God, it's so scary.
It's so good.
It looks amazing.
It's so good.
And that's right. You know, but in terms of the ecosystem, what Get Out does is, okay, it gets that seriousness. You know, it has feet in both camps and a massive box office, yet an indie film with that sensibility. But, you know, the world that I know much better is documentaries, and that festivals are critical because they are a way to, they're filter to a point. You know, what they give is the filmmakers in a way that, hey, this was worth it. We know this was really hard. We knew this took 4 years of your life or 10 years of your life or whatever. And it was not any, you know, and a lot of people didn't believe in you, but you're here now. And I think that's really important. The other part of it from the, as opposed to the filmmaker's delicate egos, mine included, it's the issue. What impact can being at a Sundance or Tribeca or a Mountain Film and Original Thinkers or any number of the festivals have? And I think those, you know, sort of town by town, festival by festival screenings end up having a really outsized impact on their chosen issue. Another festival I'm doing, which is fascinating, that is called the Inspire Film Festival, and it's in the Woodlands, Texas, which is an award-winning master plan community outside of Houston. It's sort of home to Exxon. And the Inspire Film Festival was started by somebody I know, and really great idea to say, let's find films in that frame of inspiration. And this was what her real, you know, one of the real geniuses of it to me was the films didn't have to be new. You know, there's a sort of snottiness of which I'm snotty as well of like, you know, is it Sundance 2018? Is it, you know, is it fresh? Is this the latest? Is this, you know, and her take was the opposite was, oh, it's 2010. Yeah, we'll play it because it's still beautiful and still relevant.
Right. And you may have not seen it.
That's the most important thing. I mean, NBC had a ridiculous slogan for its reruns years ago was saying it's new to you. But that's what this is. It's new to them. And,
God.
And a rather part of it, and she's willing to make this happen, is bringing in the characters, bringing people in that are those movie stars. And for people who are, you know, it's new to them, wow, right. That was a revelatory experience.
Right, right. So your new festival, Original Thinkers, describe a little bit more what the organizing principle is. You know, is it like Apple Think Different? Is it what does that mean? If somebody's submitting material, what are they submitting?
Well, we're just curating now, which is really nice. You know, I watched a lot of bad movies. You know, I realized over 10 years at Mountain Film, you know, we had about 400 to 500 submissions a year. I probably watched at least part of, you know, 250 through 300 movies a year, maybe, you know, and that's 3,000 films over a decade. And I, you know, don't want to do that anymore. I want to be like, okay, here's what I know is already good. And here's what I know my friends are making. That's going to be stellar. You know, it's really saying and keeping the program small. And the less is more part of it, you know, the sort of process of it for the audience is that we'll have one venue. You have a pass, you get in, end of story. You know, a lot of what goes on in film festivals is the queuing and the, you know, am I going to get in? And I have to leave something good to go get in line at this other thing that'll be good. And I don't really have time to take in what I just saw because I'm moving on to the next shiny. And I think that smorgasbord ultimately is a disservice to the filmmakers at some point. Look, you know, they, you know, bless Sundance, etc. But I also think it's hard on the filmmakers and it's hard on the audience. So I want us to just have this one venue. And what that does is one raises the bar for what I'm showing. It has to be really goddamn great. You know, and I have to know that I can give people, wow, that they're coming out of this with their minds blown, not just like, oh, that was a good movie. What's next? So there's that. And then in terms of original thinking for film, for art, for ideas, for speakers, for people, for scientists, storytellers that are original thinkers. And it's hugely subjective. Like, oh, I haven't thought of that. That sounds amazing. That seems incredible. And it's really using my own barometer of saying, wow, that's super smart. I'll tell you one film we're playing and that I love, and it's called, and I'm not really scheduled for a while, but it's a beautiful film called The Tables. It's a short documentary about the ping pong tables. Your offices aren't far from Bryant Square, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's those ping pong tables in Bryant Square Park. You probably walk by them. There's a beautiful film made about those tables. Beautiful documentary, and it's called The Tables. It's 17 minutes, and what those tables are, of course, they're ping pong tables, and they're these amazing, year-round outdoor tables that people put in. But what it's really about, Gabriella, it's about community, and you see this subculture of oddballs and ping pong lovers, and they come together. You've watched them.
Well, it's so funny. It's a great topic. I mean, the people with their special pouches for carrying their ping pong paddles.
And they take it so seriously.
So seriously. It's really fun to watch. If I'm not crazy busy, it's really fun to go and watch.
I'll see if I can get you a link to the film because it's beautiful.
And, oh, please.
And then you recognize what this means. And basically, what it means to me is that there is a guy, and he's a character in the film who's sort of struggling in and out of homelessness. And there's a, white kid from the Upper West Side somewhere, college kid. And the two of them are friends. They're friends because they both love ping pong and because the tables bring them together. And the one guy says, when I was really struggling, not a lot of people looked in at me, but Alex did. That kid did. And he wouldn't have if it weren't for those tables. And so what I want is I'm going to play that film. And then one of the stars of the film is this amazing guy named Wally Green, whose idea was to bring the tables there. And he was in gangs, tough neighborhood. He said he owned 6 guns by the time he was 13. And ping pong saved his life. Saved his life, flat out. And now he's a pro. He travels the world playing ping pong. He's an ambassador for the sport. He's an incredible guy. So impressive. And so he'll come. I've got him lined up to come. And then what we'll do, I'm just giving too much away.
But I love it. Keep going.
No, I got to stop. I'm getting too excited about it. But my point is, I'm going to give the audience, I really don't want to say it now.
Now you've got it. You must share.
I know. It's an experience that let me just say, there will be tables.
Oh, excellent.
There will be tables.
Excellent.
And ping pong, is so much fun and is such a great sport. And it does all these things to your mind and your brain, like mental acuity, and it staves off Alzheimer's. And so for me, people will come away saying, wow, that was a beautiful film. But what I really took away wasn't, so much the movie, but this other deeper level of our brains and community. And I'm still figuring it all out, but it has such potential. And that's what I want to do is say, oh, wow, somebody was the original thinker to put these in the park.
Well, this is what's fascinating to me is this is really taking the film and blowing it out in a really unique way. And it's so fantastic. But the lead time, you have to pick your film and then build it. I mean, so the typical cycle, your cycle must be much longer than your typical film festival, I would imagine.
I don't really know because it's all new. We're launching this October 4th to 7th in Telluride, Colorado. And I look at my year, I'm like, yesterday I was talking to my colleague, and I don't have a lot, like I'm building this. This is really entrepreneurial. And a lot of film festivals are nonprofits. I'm trying to do this as a business. As an LLC, which has its own exciting, bonuses and challenges. And I counted out, I was like, let's see, okay, it's May 1st. I was like, all of May, June, July, August, September. And I count again, like the 5 months didn't quite make sense because that doesn't seem like a lot of time. The key to it, I hope, and we'll find out, is the smallness of the program. The bigness of the programming, but the smallness of the program itself. And the idea that, we're going to have 10 shows. It'll be 2 on Friday, 4 on Saturday, 4 on Sunday, with a bunch of other cool stuff thrown in the mix, like perhaps maybe some playing of ping pong, just saying, perhaps. But also art, you know, we have a great photographer and artist come in. They'll give talks, and we'll, you know, have all kinds of fun events. Being in Colorado, there are certain things that are legal here, so we can incorporate that into programming. We can do outdoor stuff, you know. And one of the things, you know, the frame of original thinking is so interesting. And I'm just, you know, again, my first festival, understanding it more and more. But one of the things we're going to do is have like some fire building, you know, that people can do, you know, the fire making, like with the sticks. And, you know, we live in Colorado, so we're a little more familiar with it. But I think it'd be really fun for a lot of people from out of town to do this and have a sort of summer camp feel. And then I started thinking about, like, this could be a neat activity, but what's original about it? Then we look at it as, oh, whoever was the original thinker who figured out how to use fire, that's a Hall of Famer, you know? And I can incorporate that kind of frame around what's original thinking, around story, around so many different things that we're trying to do to make it, you know, feel that people come out of a weekend, wow, you know, I have a different perspective on what I'm seeing and what I'm thinking about. But I also had a really great time. I was in Telluride, Colorado, and that's an incredible place. And just building something that leaves people enriched and energized. Like, one of the things about festivals, Sundance, Mountain Film, any of them, you come out, you're so tired. It's just exhausting because, you know, the films, the schedule, the beers, all of it. And so I want this where people come out like, oh, I had time to go to yoga, or I had time to do this or that. So it's exciting.
Right. So one of the questions I'm curious, since you said you're, you know, an LLC and you're looking to not be your standard not-for-profit film festival, if you have one venue, I imagine you have, it's limited ticket sales. So what is your economic model? And then part two of that question is, you know, if your festival is taking place in the fall, when do you start the ramp up to build awareness, especially, you know, because it's a new event?
Sure. So the revenue streams, you know, a nonprofit like Mountain Film, where I worked for a decade, and I was in charge of all the programming, but I was, you know, certainly integrated a lot in the business side. I was in a lot of meetings and understood, you know, how it worked. And it was basically four revenue streams: ticket/pass sales, sponsors, grants, and donors. You know, as an LLC, grants can work in their own way, but I'm not asking people for money. It's much more transactional, which I'm really excited about. You know, there were a lot of times you had these conversations and, oh, you know, were we going to walk away with $5,000 or $10,000 or, you know, more? And yeah, there was something exciting about it, but ultimately we were fundraising. And I'm like, I think this is what the value of this is. If you want to pay it, great. If you don't, no problem. You know, so, and I think also I'm hoping, working with a woman named Nancy Schaefer, who helped both start and ran Tribeca for a decade and helped start South by Southwest a million years ago. She told me that
so not very experienced.
No, somebody that's kind of a rookie, a noob. And yeah, she's great. And she's really, you know, helping so much strategically. And we talked about this and she said, you know, for a lot of companies, if they're working with a brand, they have a brand and they're working with a nonprofit, it becomes through their sort of CSR budget, you know, and their corporate social responsibility, all that. But if they're working with an LLC, you have a chance to tap into a different marketing budget. So it becomes less a donation and how we gain our signage and our presence, or like, okay, this is what this is worth. And I'm, you know, I'll be figuring this part out. And I think, you know, especially for a first year event, you know, the sponsors are going to be people I know and people who believe in what I've done over the last 10 years and, you know, a couple of others here and there. And I'm really excited about the ones we have on board, but it's dawning for sure. But I hope that if we build it, the sponsors will come because they'll say, hey, we're doing something really smart and that's working. And, you know, the goal for original thinkers ultimately is, yeah, Telluride's awesome. What a great place to be. And I really think it's a destination that people, you know, it's one of the most beautiful towns in America. But I hope that Original Thinkers as a brand can live on in a couple of other forms, including Original Thinkers in Brooklyn, Original Thinkers in San Luis Obispo, or Original Thinkers in any number of other places, because the programming takes such time and such work. And I think we'll build really great relationships. Then we can say, hey, you know.
You could then push it out somewhere else.
And take it on the road and say, right. Wait, you know, and a little bit of a TEDx model. And you know, building those. I'm confident that we'll give filmmakers and speakers and et cetera one of the really great weekends of their year. And they'll say, oh yeah, you know, you're involved with this. This is rich. Yeah, I'll get this. And you know, and hopefully the model works that we can really compensate them in a way that makes sense, that becomes viable. And then, you know, I hope to have an Original Thinkers podcast and you know, another conversation I'd love to have with you, because you're, you know, the question for you is how to build this brand. And so that's what I'm trying to figure out. In terms of the second question, you know, I've been doing it in a bunch of ways. One is, of course, announcing on Facebook, which was really helpful, enormously so. Also talking to, you know, sending to a bunch of people, you know, a different mailing list that I have. But it's been kind of goofy. And the next step, and it'll happen next week, and you'll get this email, Gabriella, is, you know, hey, everybody, here's the festival. Save the date, October 4th to 7th, Telluride. You know, but I've got to do that still. And the time is now. And it's been, you know, that's one of my big stressors, is getting that together. But in the meantime, I've sent, you know, there's some, you know, group email from my high school classmates asking for class notes. And I'm like, hey, come to my festival. You know, I emailed all these college friends. You know, I have a ski trip. It's, I'm kind of shameless in that way. And I don't know if you see.
It's what people love about you.
Oh, so embarrassing. It's just mortifying. But I'm, you know, I have these postcards I hand out around town, wherever, at festivals. People are like, yeah, you gave me one. It's mortifying. But
here, have another.
Have another, please. You must have somebody to give it to. Now, there's a P.T. Barnum aspect to this. You know, I don't know if you've seen The Blues Brothers, but I love that movie. And the final scene when they're getting ready to do the show, and the brothers are in their truck, and they're like, hey, you kid over there, you know, come to the Fabulous Blues Brothers concert and your show tonight, and you know, you eating the ice cream cone. I feel a little like that. You know, I look at in a way that, you know, we have to build the audience sort of person by person, and that's exciting in a way. But I do hope people listening to this and other avenues are like, oh, that sounds compelling. I'll check out the website. Oh, okay, yeah, that's worth taking a flyer on. And then, you know, hopefully they say, oh, I'll never miss that.
So perfect segue into our last question, which is, where can listeners find you and where can they learn more about you and Original Thinkers?
Well, originalthinkers.com, which is our website, and it's spare for now. Again, I'd love your ideas on how to build it out. But, you know, we've got, it gives you a real sense of what this, a flavor of it. And so, you know, I hope people really tune in for that. I also, you know, my film, The Diplomat, is on HBO. And I'm, you know, even a couple, it's not as fresh as some of the films. My father was certainly an original thinker.
It's a great film. Here's a plug for that film. It is a fantastic film. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it turned out really well. And I think it has real value, especially in the world we live in today. I mean, yes. It's a mad, bad, mad world. And my father, you know, I think really understood diplomacy and why it was so important in any time, but and do we need it now? So I think it's a real, you know, I work in inspiration. I don't know why, but like I feel the film has inspired a lot of people and will continue to. I really hope the work at Original Thinkers does. And you know, it's what a pleasure to be on Up Next, Gabrielle. Really nice to be on your show.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who have helped bring the program to life. First, my friend, Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open. And of course, thanks to my production team over at Microfame Media. And a big thank you to our guest, David Holbrook. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience. Thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week, right here on Up Next.